2 Corinthians 10:5, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. And the good news is that if God tells us that we're capable of controlling our thoughts, we can do it.
Welcome to Diary of the Mom Squad with Kate and Brittany. Tune in for insights into the hilarious, heartfelt, and often chaotic world of motherhood, where no one has everything figured out and we all need a whole lot of Jesus. So grab a cup of coffee, take a break, and join this crazy journey together. This is Diary of the Mom Squad, where moms connect, support, and thrive.
This month on Diary of the Mom Squad, we are joined by Arthur, Christy, and Tate. Christine, thanks for joining us today.
Well, thank you very much for having me. I'm glad to be here.
So what made you want to start writing?
Well, that's the funny thing. I didn't. Writing was never on my radar. It's more of how God led me into it despite myself. My degree is in film and television from USC, and I had a number of jobs in the regular career world, none of which involved writing. And I got married later. I was 30 when I got married and 34 when I had my daughter. But at that point, I became a stay-at-home wife and mom. My husband was active duty Navy, so a lot of moving around and just being a wife and mom. So I homeschooled my daughter. So, you know, that took up a lot of my time. And at one point I was thinking about the future and a friend suggested to me, well, have you thought about writing a book? And I immediately rejected the idea. I did not want to write. So kind of a little of a Jonah moment there, you know, hey, go talk to those Ninevites. No, I'm good, God. I don't need to do that, you know. So I actually rejected the idea when someone suggested it to me. But, you know, I was starting to think about my daughter's about 8 at the time. And, you know, being a homeschool mom, you know that especially when you have one, that the journey has an end. It's not a lifetime endeavor. It's a season endeavor. Mm-hmm. And I was starting to think about, you know, well, what comes after homeschooling? I knew I didn't really want to go back into the career world, you know, full time in that respect. So I was looking for something that the future was going to hold for me. And even though I completely tossed it aside, I was in a women's Bible study group. I was actually leading it. It was a brand new group that had just started. We didn't really know each other very well. So at the first meeting, we said, well, what kind of, you know, material do we want to do? And we all looked at each other and said, well, we'd like something that helps us get to know each other better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we'd like something that just doesn't have a lot of homework because we all have the time to go to the Bible study group. None of us had time to devote that daily reading for half an hour. And we were honest with each other. Like, look, you know, I've got time to be here once a week, but this is it. So we set our parameters and all went out and said, all right, let's get the titles together. Next week when we meet, we're just going to vote on them. I didn't find anything that fit the bill. Next week we got together and I was like, all right, somebody else is going to have titles. We're good. We'll just vote on what they've got. Mm-hmm. Nobody showed up with titles. Nobody could find anything that met that specific criteria. And I had done a completely different study like 20 years ago. I had a concept and I even contacted the publisher and said, hey, can I get a copy of this book? But they said it's completely out of print and not available anymore. But I had a general idea of, you know, something that was loosely based on that concept that, you know what, I know what we need to do. And I actually wrote Group Hug 1 for the group. And as I was writing it, my friend's words were ringing through my head. Why don't you write a book? I'm like, no, I'm not writing a book. I'm just writing something to get the group started because I know what we need and none of us can find it. So we did Group Hug 1 and everybody loved it. But, you know, I didn't know if they actually liked it or if they were just like, well, we appreciate the effort and we're Christian groups. We're just going to be very encouraging. So, you know, I thought, okay, we went on. We did a different 8-week study. And at the end of that 8-week study, they turned to me and they said, you know what? We liked yours a lot better. Would you write us a second one?
Ah.
And that's when the light bulb went on. And I thought, you know what? Okay, yeah, they really did like it. And so I wrote the second book and realized that if this group was benefiting from it, I should make it available to other groups to benefit as well. And that was over 30,000 books ago. So it's helped a lot of women, and I've gotten a lot of very positive feedback from it. And it is now an entire series.
Oh, wow.
With 8 books. One of them is a topic study on marriage, and the other one, Group Hug Holidays, is cross-compatible with all other Bible studies. You can do any Bible study, and then you stop the week before a holiday to do the standalone holiday lesson in Group Hug, And then you go right back to your study when you return from the holiday break. So, and I've got Group Hug Hot Topics is going to be coming out next year. So it's very still cool. A growing, expanding series.
Well, that's really neat that, like, out of your community is where that was mm-hmm. born. I think sometimes, like you were saying, that Nineveh moment, the Jonah moment, you didn't want to do it, but God put community around you and birthed something new. So very cool that that's how that happened. Do you have
it's just following God's plan?
Yes, yes. And sometimes we are disobedient and we are like, I don't think I want to do that. And he always finds a way to bring us back to that for sure. Do you have a specific book that you're most proud of?
Well, that would be my latest book. It's a new release. It's called Mental Donuts, Overcoming Unhealthy Thoughts. And it also has an accompanying 38-week study guide that goes with it that can be done in companion with the book or separate from the book. And I'm most proud of this. This is a book, not just a simple 8-week study guide. And it's something that I think there's just a real need for out there. Mm-hmm. You know, I went through a 7-year Job season in my life. I mean, it started off, my mother went through a divorce after 50 years of marriage. Oh, it was biblically sanctioned. It was adultery. And it wasn't the first time the issue had come up in the marriage, but it was the last time it came up in the marriage. But that threw her into just a horrible place. I mean, she was not in a good place. She moved in with us. And then immediately after that, my husband was in a near-fatal car accident with bleeding on the brain and broken ribs, and that was a mess.
Wow.
Then after that, you know, I had my own health issue where I just all of a sudden couldn't swallow. So that was a few months of trying to get that under control. Mm. And then in the middle of all this, my daughter hit her teen years. And, you know,
that was always a ride.
We have a strong-willed child. I love my daughter dearly, but the teenage years met teenage hormones and a strong-willed child, and it gave me a run for my money. Mm-hmm. And during this time, she was also targeted by an online predator.
Oh, my goodness.
And came to find out that one of her friends was having homicidal ideologies. Relationships with my father and mother-in-law went completely off a cliff. I was struggling to find time to write. And then my mother had a massive heart attack. So there was a physical element on top of that. I mean, literally the point where in the emergency room, they looked at me and they said, we have never seen anyone with her troponin levels walk in on their own 2 feet. I mean, it was bad. And in the midst of this, I lost my therapist, our church, and our homeschool group, and my marriage almost ended in divorce. Mm-hmm. So, you know, this all unfolded over a 7-year Job season in my life where it was just one thing, literally every couple months, it was just something major after something major after something major. Mm-hmm. And Mental Donuts is the culmination of the lessons and the wisdom that came out of those experiences. And I'm glad that I can share those lessons. The basic founding verse for the book is 2 Corinthians 10:5, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. And the good news is that if God tells us that we're capable of controlling our thoughts, we can do it. Mm-hmm. So that's actually an encouraging verse because he wouldn't say bring every thought into captivity if it wasn't possible.
Right. Yeah.
The problem is, how do you do that? Where do you go? It's great to say we're capable of doing it and God tells us to do it, but what does that actually look like? And I think for moms, you know, a stay-at-home mom has a lot of stress. There's just a lot going on, multitasking from many angles, and you know, especially if she's got any kind of a supplemental career that goes with it, that just adds to it. But, you know, and kids too, you know, there's a mental health crisis out there right now. And it doesn't just affect moms, it affects kids. And we have got to find a way to wrap our arms around what's going on and not just know that it needs to be fixed, but come up with an actionable way forward that we can take steps towards actually achieving that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that I this book addresses that and gives suggestions for ways to find mental health and, you know, strategies for what to do to control your thoughts and emotions, because the process is different for everybody. I mean, I wish I could say, hey, this is the answer. If everyone applies it, we're good to go. Okay. But it's not that simple.
That would be so nice.
it would be. And, you know, one of the reasons it's not that simple is because the reasons are different. So if you're going through a season of testing that is not of your own doing, you're going to have misery, and that misery is going to spawn the mental donut. So let me define a mental donut. A mental donut is a thought or a feeling that's contrary to the heart and mind divide. Mm-hmm. They're natural. Mm-hmm. We're humans. It's going to happen. But what do we do about those? Well, if you're in a season of testing, it's going to generate those mental donuts. Okay, spiritual warfare. If Satan's coming against you, you're going to have those mental donuts pop up. Sometimes it's God's discipline. The other thing is you have to determine whether it's behavioral, meaning is it self-induced or you are an innocent party. If you do something that is causing others to react negatively to you, the solution is you need to change your behavior. Mm-hmm. If you're an innocent party and have done nothing and someone is just toxic towards you, the solution isn't to change your behavior. The solution is to change your perspective. So it's really important to know what the reason is. Where are these thoughts coming from before you can identify the path? You know, yeah. Another reason is biological. You know, when we're fatigued or have low blood sugar, I don't know about you, but those two factors right there turn me into an instant crab.
Yep,
and yep. I was like, okay, you're a Christian, Christine. You can't respond this way. All right, don't do this. Don't do this.
That's when you need a donut.
that's when you need the donut, right? You know, and especially moms. I mean, it is physically demanding being a mom. I mean, by the time you've gone through the day and done everything that needs to be done and made dinner and gotten the kids to bed and gotten everything ready for the next day, made some husband time, you know, hopefully you've had some time for yourself in there. You're just tired at the end of the day.
Yeah.
And you just don't have that extra ounce of patience maybe. So there's biological reasons, you know, our environment is toxic. You know, when your body is exposed to excess toxins that, you know, negatively affect you and make you feel ill, again, your tolerance levels just aren't going to be where they need to be to walk in love and have that Christian spirit about you. And it's a battle. But the solution isn't, you know, thinking about something more. It's do something to make your body healthier. You know, we have social influences. You know, if you're hanging around with a bunch of drama mamas that don't invite peace into your life, you know, that isn't going to help you have, you know, godly thoughts and feelings. You know, and one of my favorite basic causes is the media influence. I mean, TV, social media, you know, they all have subliminal messages and ways of changing our thought process and influencing us that may not necessarily be in line with the way God wants us to think and feel. Mm-hmm. They give you the world's way of seeing things, not God's way. So, you know, the first thing you have to do is you have to be able to identify what's the problem I'm trying to fix. But even after you do that, the solutions are still different for everyone. So, for example, the basic idea is the same. You're trying to change your ruts and your neural pathways. So when you have a thought, that thought is going to create a rut in your brain. I want you to think of it like a muddy road and a cart that's going over that muddy road. That wheel, which is that thought going over the road, which is your neural pathway, is going to leave an impression in the mud. Well, the next cart that comes along, what's it going to do? It's going to make that rut just a little deeper and a little deeper. And every cart that comes by, that rut's going to get deeper and deeper and deeper because that pathway is forming. Well, we got to find a way to get out of that pathway, create a new pathway, and make that pathway even deeper than the one that you just got out of. So the basic goal is the same, but the way that you go about doing that is unique for everybody. So, I mean, there's a lot of different factors to consider. So I introduced what's called the 10 R's, and this is just my way of summarizing the things that need to happen to help provide a strategy for how we can get in control of those errant thoughts and feelings. So the 10 R's represents recognizing, repenting, running, relying, refusing, rejecting, releasing, repairing, repeating, and replacing. So it starts with recognizing what you need to recognize. And often we need to recognize we need a plan. Mm-hmm. That plan then goes towards repentance. Many times what you need to repent of is your pains, your pride, your anger, your illusions, your negativity, and your selfishness. When you identify which of those is what you need to address, it puts you in a different frame of mind. And once you've recognized that you need a plan and you identified your pains, then you need to run to something. You need to run to God. Maybe you need to help others. You get your mind out of yourself and focused on others. Maybe you need to run away from something and say, I'm just not going to go there anymore. You need to rely on God and humor and tactics and friends and family and sometimes professional advice. There's nothing wrong with saying, I need someone else to help me sort this out.
Yeah.
Sometimes you rely on reason, just thinking it through. You need to refuse to question. You know, often we think that we need to question something. Like, I need that information, when God is really saying, no, that's enough that I know. You don't need to know.
Right.
I just need you to obey. And that incessant need to question and have information that we have really no right to know, because we have no rights with God. It's whatever God chooses to give us. We have the right to expect the salvation when we accept Jesus. But beyond that, we submit as servants to him. And that doesn't always mean you're going to know what you want to know.
Right.
Sometimes the answer is we need to refuse to indulge ourselves. And, it'll be okay just this once. Well, no, if it's sin, it's sin. There is no okay to sin once. You know, sometimes criticizing and complaining is an issue. You know, just in my own marriage with, you know, how I was relating to my husband, sometimes I would say things and the content of what I was saying was fine. The expression of how it was coming out of my mouth needed an adjustment because he was hearing something different than what I was saying. And by shifting how that was expressed, it changed how he responded. And when it changed how he responded, it changed how I was thinking.
Yeah.
So again, you got these, you know, which came first, the chicken or the egg kind of things, but you got to figure out what you need to refuse. Sometimes we need to reject things, extra thoughts that just don't need to be there. Not today, Satan.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes we limit ourselves when we have limitations that we need to say, you know, why am I placing that limitation on myself? And sometimes we just need to reject Satan. You know, sometimes it just truly is spiritual warfare. And we need to say, all right, I recognize this for what it is, and I'm not going to let Satan win. I'm on Team Jesus, and that's where I'm going to stay. And this is a war, and I'm going to win it because God's going to grant me the victory. And Satan's not going to win. Sometimes we need to release things. Toxins is a perfect example. We live in a very toxic environment. When those toxins overwhelm our physical bodies and our health starts to suffer, it doesn't help our frame of mind. And sometimes we can get defeated by what our bodies are going through, but a defeatist attitude is not the victory that we're promised in Jesus through Christ, through God. So we need to release our need to understand. I mean, going back to that questioning thing, sometimes it's just not for us to understand. Or maybe we've accepted responsibility for something or someone that it's not our responsibility, that we've done the best that we can do for Team Jesus, but now it's time to let God do his thing. There's a point where we do have to step back and say, God, it's your turn.
Yeah.
You know, repairing. Sometimes we need to repair our attitudes. That is something we can control. Sometimes, going back to the biological element, we need to repair our nutrition to help us feel better, to think better. Other times is broken boundaries. You know, boundaries are God-given.
Mm.
You know, we're supposed to have healthy boundaries because it keeps the peace. And when it keeps the peace, it stops all those negative thoughts. When something bad happens and then you have that thought or that feeling that you shouldn't have, just fixing your broken boundaries goes a long way towards putting yourself on the path you need to be. Sometimes to change that mental rut, it's repeating like a mantra, a declaration, an affirmation, even a prayer, where you need to repeat the process. It didn't work the first time, do it again.
Mm-hmm.
The 10th R is to replace. Sometimes we just need to replace facts with faith. Sometimes faith is the answer, and we just need to say, all right, I don't care what man says, I care what God says.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But the reverse is true, too. Sometimes we're so led by our emotions that we shut off our intellect. And there are times where we need to lead by what we know the Word of God says and not be led by the emotions that would drive the intellect.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, holding on to the Word and replacing the emotions with the intellectual knowledge of God. Especially for stay-at-home moms that are just overwhelmed with everything, replace your priorities. Sometimes just shifting those priorities or something else helps you get to where you need to go. When you understand that something that you are giving too much weight to isn't that important, and it's okay to let go of it because something else is more important. You know, I was on a chat room the other day, and a woman was saying, you know, I'm a stay-at-home mom, and I just feel like I'm not evangelizing and doing enough for God. Well, evangelism is absolutely a priority, but let's change how we think about that. You're raising Christians. that you're creating, literally creating from scratch, kingdom children, kingdom sons mm-hmm. and daughters. That is evangelism right there.
It's so important to focus on mental health, not only for single moms, but for working moms. We're all so busy. How do we find time to even pick up a book and read it these days? And why is it important that we do that?
Well, it's important because we need to change our perspectives. You know, the Bible, first of all, that's the one book everybody should be picking up. When you immerse yourself in God's word, you're seeing his perspective, not your own. You're having his priorities, not your own. Mm-hmm. And we tend to want to see and do things our way when the challenge is to see and do things God's way. Mm-hmm. And this is kind of hard, though, for a lot of, you know, as you said, busy moms, because we don't always prioritize ourselves. And we have to recognize that physical, mental, and spiritual needs all go together. You can't just say, I need to eat and sleep today.
Right.
Okay. You can eat and you can sleep, but that doesn't make you healthy, and that doesn't make you happy, and that doesn't make you right with God. Okay. We are physical, mental, and spiritual creatures. And just like you prioritize your physical and your mental needs, you have to prioritize your spiritual needs. The next thing is, because you can't add more hours to the day, I wish we could. I wish I could wave that magic wand and have it happen. That's God's domain. Mm-hmm. He has decreed 24 hours in a day. And some days you swear you need, you know, 28, just a few more hours, God, but it doesn't happen that way. You need to be able to multitask and open your mind to being creative mm-hmm. about ways to do more than one thing at a time. For example, you know, if you need to take a shower, listen to a Christian podcast talking about God's word in the shower.
Like this one.
No. Yeah, like this one. Things like Diary of the Mom Squad. Okay. We're talking about Christian concepts. We're talking about God's word. And it'll just kind of get you thinking and hearing God's word. It doesn't always have to be, I need to go grab my Bible, make sure everybody's quiet, and sit there for half an hour. I would love it if everybody would do that and could do that. But the reality is, in our busy lives, it just doesn't always work out like that. So again, with multitasking, you know, another example would be combine your social time with your fellowship time. At some point, you're going to have social activity. You know, for me, it was taking my daughter to a homeschool event. And while the kids were doing their event, I was talking to other moms. I was having a social moment. And if you can talk about God or something that's going on in your life from a Christian perspective, or even do a little devotional there, you know, you've just multitasked. You didn't make time. You took time that was already spoken for and turned it into something that covered that piece that needs to be met.
I like that.
You know, that would be my advice for busy moms.
Yeah, that's great. And so many good nuggets to take from all of that. And Christine, we just want to say thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy schedule to chat with us today. And we are excited about the release of that new book, and we'll be keeping our eyes out for that. So thanks for chatting with us today.
Well, thanks for having me here, and God bless everyone, and may the Lord walk with you and keep you in peace.
Thanks for listening to Diary of the Mom Squad. Tune in next time for more stories, more laughter, and the reminder that we always need more Jesus. You got this, Mom!